Welcome to Commander Central, episode 60, and despite being told to stop, we are going to talk about Graveyard Hate this show.
Wait a minute. I thought we were talking about the Battlebond lands because people tell us to stop talking about those as well.
We should just do shows on stuff people tell us to stop talking about. I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.
How are you gentlemen doing this crisp autumn afternoon?
It's not crisp out.
It's damp out, I guess. It's this soggy autumn afternoon.
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Because my life is tough.
Oh, God.
I think this was on Monday. I was like doing some Twitter stuff before I went to bed Monday night, and I dropped my phone on my face, and I dropped it so like just a corner of it cut myself, cut me right in the lip, enough to like swell up my lip. And every subsequent day since then, as it started to go down, I've bit it while like eating or chewing gum or just talking to someone. So it's continuously gotten more and more swollen every day since then. So I'm gonna try to avoid biting myself in my own face while we do this podcast.
Well, good. We don't need a safety incident. We don't have insurance.
Right, exactly. Any fun games anyone played this week?
I got to play my new Regnine Krav deck.
Yeah, that was one I wanted to talk about. So first of all, that was the first new deck you've built in quite 6 months-ish?
Right before Vegas, yeah. Gahiji would have been my last one that got axed. So
how'd you like it?
I love this deck.
Nice. Because you've never played Orzhov before, I don't think.
Very long time ago.
So how did it play?
I got flooded every game, and I'm only running 37 lands, so there's just so much draw in the deck. Like, I need resources to get rid of the cards in my hand.
I think your CMC is relatively tight, too, so you probably don't use all the mana you have.
Right. My average CMC is 3.14.
Yeah, that's pretty tight for Commander.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, one game I won with Commander damage with Krav because I made him an 18-18 and swung in, and then he died, and then he came back. I gave him haste and got the final 3 points of damage in.
Nice.
The other game I won with the Blood Bond combo.
Wait, what was that again?
Blood Bond, Exquisite Blood, and Sanguine Bond
Mike
combo.
And Trike, only losers play it, blah, 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 blah.
I was wondering if Chris would have some statements on, some thoughts on that. You know, games got to end.
The game had to end, yeah, and that's exactly why I played the combo.
I would bet that as you continue to work on that deck, that may come out as you find win conditions that aren't that.
I'm sure I will, but...
But you had to... Games got to end.
Yep.
You got to be able to close them out somehow. And that can be, like, that's a struggle right now. At the point where we're at in Commander, people are playing relatively decent decks, but it can be tough to actually win, to actually have a way to win a game consistently, even if you're ahead. So, I get it. I don't love that combo either.
I didn't feel good about
Chris is just shaking his head, if you could hear that over the mic.
The first game I did it in, I was facing down.
Wait.
I tried to do it in two different games. So the first game, I drew both pieces naturally because I'm drawing 5 or 6 cards with Krav every time I sack a bunch of stuff. That game I did it mainly because I was facing down a Valduk deck with 10 pieces of equipment on them, and all the tokens were just going to be coming my way.
So you're just going to get mauled.
Yep.
Okay.
And then on the other side of the table was an Alesha token deck, and Assemble the Legion was at like 8. So I was just going to get mauled. So I played the combo, and they didn't have any responses. I said, okay, just to make sure, I'm just going to play Authority of the Consoles.
To get a little bit of...
That'll trigger, because yeah. I didn't have a way to get the life gain on my turn. So I said, if you don't have a way to not... I mean, you have to attack, because I think the red player had an enchantment out that said every creature had to attack.
Right.
So I'm like, you don't have anything else to take all the equipment off of Valduk. So it's not like he can just unequip everything.
Right.
So I'm like, the minute that token drops, the game's over. And he was like, he kind of did what Chris is doing, giving me the stink eye, like, you dirty player. And the other player across the table was like, yeah, game has to end. We've been playing for like an hour, so I'm fine with that. The second game...
So you didn't tutor for it. That was just you naturally,
drew it. And all right. I don't want to tutor for the combo. I don't want to beat that scumbag.
Sure.
I don't want to be like Ryan at right. Commander Cookout. Yeah.
Honestly, if I played the combo, I would tutor it up.
Well, second game of the night.
It's tough to resist that. Like, when it's there, I can just win this game right now. That's really tough to resist. So I tend to not have the temptation.
Right. Second game of the night, I played the first half, and I said, well, I'm just going to it was maybe almost at the 2 hour mark when I did this for a 4 player game. Nobody died yet. We're all still, everybody had an answer.
And everyone wanted to be done too. I actually was listening to that game. I was next to you guys.
So I said, can I just, I'll tutor for the other half. And everybody's like, yes, let's end the game. I tutor for it. I go to play it. And the player to my right says Swan Song. I'm like, you literally just told me to do this.
And he was the person that told you to go get it and end the game.
Yeah. So then I ended up dying maybe 2 or 3 turns later. But
and it wasn't even like he was beating you into doing it. He was like literally telling you to do it. Then it was like, oh, I do have a Swan Song. Yeah.
He's like, I just drew it, so I have to use it. I'm like, ah, it's fair.
I would have baited you into doing it.
I know you would have.
All right. So the verdict is still out on how much of a scumbag Max is. We'll do a Twitter poll on that. I think we'll get it up. Is Max a scumbag or not?
Oh,
I mean, obviously not like a Ryan at CCO level scumbag, but like kind of a scumbag.
Right. I didn't cheat out 5 other players in a Traxable.
Right.
I didn't backstab someone.
So I think it would be fair to say that your MVP cards would be either Sanguine Bond or Exquisite Blood.
No.
No. What did you have then?
Authority of the Consoles.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Because in the very first game of the night I used this deck, it kept a green-white Savala deck at bay.
Nice.
Because he dropped a Crater Hoof.
And that just comes in play tapped.
And it came in tapped along with the 4 other creatures he dropped before it. So I only ended up taking... He got me down to 8, and that card itself made me bounce back up to like 15 in order to win.
Now, do you have that and Blind Obedience in the deck, or just Authority of the Consoles?
No Blind Obedience yet.
Just because you didn't have one, or is there a reason for that?
I didn't put it in the list.
Okay. I think Extort would be really good in that deck, too.
Yep. I mean, Cryptghast has Extort. I got to use that
a little bit
this week. I mean, it'll probably get a slot, maybe over one of the other combo pieces. I'll just switch it out for one of those.
Okay. Well, I do that. Like, being able to have force your opponents to play tapped creatures is really, really useful. I mean, Blind Obedience, having the Extort stapled onto it, it's great. But, like, it's a good card in general, and so is Authority. I like both those cards.
Yeah.
Okay. Social media... last week, sign-out question we had was asking people where they were going to put Assassin's Trophy, assuming you actually get one for less than $30-some dollars. And pretty much universally, the responses we had from people were that they would replace an existing targeted removal spell, which is what I'm going to do. I'm pulling Putrefy out of my deck. So what do you guys, does that make sense to you guys after hearing kind of that?
Yeah. That's honestly what I would do.
I think especially in Golgari, where you have so many existing good targeted removal spells, it would be different if this was like red-blue or something, and you're like, okay, well, I mean, I guess I have Reality Shift and Pongify and a couple things like that, but I can run one more. I'm fine with that. But in Golgari, Beast Within and Maelstrom Pulse and Abrupt Decay and, you know, every black creature removal spell, and I mean, there's so many options there that... I think that makes sense to me, too. So everyone's pretty much on board with that. And if you want to pick up your own copy of Assassin's Trophy, Max, where could you do that?
You can head over to flipsidegaming.com, and if you use promo code CMDR in your checkout, you'll get 10% off your order and entered in to win a box of Guilds of Ravnica.
Nice.
So if you make your purchases before next Friday,
I believe you
will be entered. I think the drawing's going to happen on Friday, or if not, the Monday after.
All right. Other contests, we have 2 that are wrapping up in the next couple days, 1 on Twitter and 1 for Patreon supporters.
That is correct. For Patreon, courtesy of our local game store here, D20 Gaming in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, we are giving away a completely sleeved up Marin deck from Commander Anthology 1.
Yeah.
Has all the tokens, the lands, and it comes in an awesome Ultra Pro Satin Tower as well.
It's like good to go. You can show up at your game store and play with that deck immediately.
And then for Twitter, we have the oversized Jester Cap.
Yes, indeed.
From Dana's Collection Adventures.
I actually went through and made a pile of stuff I'm going to bring and show you guys next week, I think, of other weird things I have for Twitter giveaways. And you guys will be like, what is all of this random janky stuff in here? But I've got some good jank to give away to people for future Twitter giveaways. So we'll have that announced winner, I think, next week.
Yeah.
And then a week after, we'll talk about the new contest.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Where can you find us on the interwebs if you want to reach out?
There's quite a few locations you can find us. So first place we'll start is online at CommanderCentral.com. Second place we'll start is Facebook, where you can search us up. We usually reply quite quickly.
Yeah, we do.
One of us does or another. If you don't know who you're talking to, feel free to ask, because sometimes we don't actually say who it is that's responding.
I'm terrible at that.
I used to put like an X, like dash X, you know it was me, but yeah, I forget.
You can find us on the Twitterbirds at CMDR Central. It's actually where we do a lot of our stuff. I mean, you just heard about the giveaway and all that stuff.
The daily tweets now, too.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
And then you can find most of our content on YouTube and search that up at for CMDR Central. And I guess that's about it. Anything else you can think of?
I think that's it for now.
Nope. I think we're good.
All right.
Unless you want to go back to the MySpace comment.
Geocities. No, I think that'll take care of it all. So we can move straight into this week's main show topic. And I didn't mention this in games we played, so I thought I'd mention it right now. I had a game, I think the first one I played of the night, against a couple of decks, but one of them was the Dragon, Rammel's Dragon Engine. And he had kind of got rolling and went to cast a, is it All Suns Dawn, where you can bring back one card of each color, I think, from your graveyard?
Yep.
I, fortunately, had untapped in front of me a Scavenger Grounds. I was able to crack that and delete everyone's graveyard in response to him bringing back a fistful of cards from his graveyard that I did not want to see back in play. Which leads us to our main topic, which is graveyard hate, which we're not supposed to talk about because of doing things like that to Rammel's players.
Good show, everybody. See you next week.
Yeah, So we might as well start off. I kind of illustrated an obvious reason, but why is graveyard hate important?
I guess so people can't cast an All Suns Dawn in an Rammel's deck.
That's definitely a big reason. The one thing I will mention here is if you look at EDH Rec for stats, the number two most popular commander of all time, so it has like the second amount of decks out there in the wild period, is Marin of Clan Nel'Toth, which is exclusively a graveyard playing deck. And if you go through the top 20, Sidisi Brood Tyrant is in there, Alesha is in there, Marchesa, Caridor, Tassigar. Like, almost a third of the top 20 most popular commanders do a lot of stuff with graveyards. So basically, you are turning off a big chunk of that person's deck if you can stop that graveyard from happening. And if you can't, they have two hands. So like that's I think, the number one reason. Like, it's easy to Max is checking to see how many he has.
I have two hands.
They would technically then have four hands.
Ah, there we go.
But no, like, that's something, if you aren't packing graveyard hate, of some sort in your deck, you are absolutely going to lose a game over the course of the evening because of that. Would you guys agree with that statement?
I think in Magical Christmas Land, yes.
Okay.
You will lose to that.
A couple more statistics I will throw out there. The number one most popular commander from Commander 2018 is Lord Windgrace, whose -2 ability uses your graveyard right away, and it's probably the ability I see used most often with him to bring two lands back into play. The most popular tribe on EDH Rec is Zombies, which have a really heavy graveyard interaction, and almost all their commanders do as well. Three of the five new mechanics from Guilds of Ravnica interact with the graveyard, Undergrowth, Surveil, and Jumpstart. And in addition to the story I just told about Scavenger Grounds, I think I mentioned one in last week's show where I used a Yawgmoth's Will to cast like 6 spells from my graveyard to win a game. Someone could have stopped that or should have stopped that, and that's why I got into that position. So I think like those are all reason, like there's some statistical reasons for it as well as some anecdotal reasons from games we've played. You have to deal people's graveyard for the most part.
Yep. And you know, granted, most of the commanders Dana just mentioned are in the green X category, green black X category, but every color has a little bit of graveyard recursion.
Yeah.
In their color. I'm not talking about artifacts or anything, but white, you have Replenish and Open the Vaults. Red has flashback stuff.
Well, I watched, Chris was doing some testing of his modern deck on Tuesday night, and I sat and watched for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. I mean, you cast flashback.
Past in Flames
a dozen times in a span of 10 minutes.
Yep.
Different games, obviously, but like, I mean, Red uses graveyard plenty too. In addition to, there's a lot of stuff with, the mono red planeswalker.
Duretti
uses his graveyard a ton. There's a lot of shenanigans going on, flipping artifacts in and out. I mean, every color has graveyard interaction.
Yeah, and I think people kind of migrate just to the green black X archetype, or red blue maybe because of flashback and Mizzix and stuff like that. But every color does have it.
Sure. I mean, definitely black green use it the most. But if someone drops a Mizzix Mastery on you, overloaded in red, you just have died. You're like, you're gonna lose that game. A Snapcaster is just going to, I mean, how many times does a Snapcaster wreck you somebody in your Brago deck, Max?
I wouldn't know. Snapcaster isn't in Brago.
You've Archaeomancer, though. Archaeomancer. They're kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Snapcaster should be in Brago, which I've told you numerous times.
I play Torrential Gearhulk instead because it has a bigger body and I need a finisher.
Oh, and, you know, same thing, though. Like, it does the same thing.
You're playing both of them.
I don't have the Snapcaster anymore.
We will have to, anybody who has a Snapcaster to trade for Max, reach out on Twitter.
And Chris also needs three for Modern. No, not anymore?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay, never
I'm
mind.
I'm building Young Pyromancer.
Oh, nice.
All right, so yeah, it's just something that comes up in every color in a ton of different decks. You have to find a way to deal with it. So what separates graveyard hate from other types of answers, and why do they use the term hate specifically? Because you always hear about graveyard hate, but you don't hear really people talk about creature hate that much, or enchantment hate, or hand hate. I mean, people do attack hands, they do attack creatures, they do attack libraries, they attack everything, but is there a reason? Because I think there is. So I'm asking this question. I guess I have my own answer. Why do they use the term graveyard hate specifically?
I have one word for you.
What's your word?
Dredge.
Yeah, I mean, dredge will kill you. No, I like that.
I literally think that's why it's coined as hate, because dredge came out and everyone's like, no, we have to hate the graveyard.
Yes. Well, I think because particularly a lot of times you're not just like targeting a single card in the graveyard. You're just blanking someone's graveyard.
Yep.
Like, you're taking the whole thing out. And I would also say it's a thing where it shuts off decks in ways other things don't. I run Rest in Peace in my Sphinx deck just because I have no graveyard interaction and I wanted some graveyard hate. And I'm like, well, I might as well run Rest in Peace. I'm not using my own graveyard anyway, so I don't care. It doesn't hurt me. People scooped that card. I've had multiple times I've played that card at some point in the game, and the graveyard player's like, oh, well, I'm just done. So I'm just going to scoop.
You're in green. Where's your deck glamour?
Right. But that doesn't always solve the problem, because it's not just keeping you from using graveyard. It's erasing your graveyard.
Right.
So the 30 cards you have in there that you have plans for are just gone, and there are plenty of times without those cards you can't get to your win con. And that doesn't really happen with anything else, I don't think, in other formats.
Poor deck building, in my opinion.
No, I would agree with that. Like, as someone, I use my graveyard a ton in my Glissa deck, but I can live without it.
Yep. I can do the same thing with my Alesha deck. If I get locked out with Rest in Peace, it's like, okay, slows my deck down a lot.
For sure.
But yeah. It's not going to stop me by any means.
You can do things in the interim until you get in a position to remove that and then go back to utilizing it. But there are some decks like that, you know, I've seen a lot of Marin decks, when their graveyard's gone, they don't have a plan beyond that. Because their whole plan is just value town with Marin, and they've built around that. They're only running things like, I can't remember anything tonight. The Reclamation Sage, or like, because they're planning on recurring it from their graveyard, and that's only removal. And you've just bombed their graveyard. And they're like, well, maybe I'll top deck that Rec Sage, but if I don't, if it's already gone, they have no plan. So yeah, I think that's why the word hate jumps out at me, is you can hit graveyards in a way you can't hit other things. And when you hit them, oftentimes the person is just bombed out of the game.
And I think that also has a factor, specifically in EDH. If you're in a four-player pod, granted it's meta-dependent, but in our shop, there's typically one player in every pod that has a graveyard-centric deck, whether it's Alesha or Lord Windgrace or Glissa to an extent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may be scavenging grounds everybody's graveyard, but you are specifically hating that one player because you just shut them down.
Well, the example I always think of is if someone plays Aura of Silence, which lets you sacrifice or destroy an artifact or an enchantment, but it sits there and taxes every artifact and enchantment you cast for two. I can't think, I mean, there aren't very many games when I've seen that come down, and when it hasn't made me look at my hand and go, oh man, this spell's not going to cost two more, and B, maybe look around and go, well, now he can just remove this thing at will. Like, it almost always affects me as well as everybody else. There's been plenty of times when someone drops a scavenger grounds or a scavenging ooze, or, you know, has a Pachuca bug I know they're going to drop next turn, and I don't care because it's not going to hit me. Or they'll play Leyline of the Void or something, and I'm like, oh, well, that can just stay there forever because I have two cards in this deck that care about my graveyard, and that dude's got 40 of them, and I am perfectly fine with that Leyline of the Void sitting there doing work. Matter of fact, I've had people go to remove my Rest in Peace when I didn't have counter magic available, and someone else has countered the removal spell.
Because it's beneficial to them.
Right, because it's not hurting them at all, and it's really keeping that Carador deck locked down. And I think that's kind of a unique thing with hidden graveyards that you don't really see with things like that enchantment hate or taxation or even propaganda effects. People are like, people tend to know at some point, even if propaganda isn't hurting me now, at some point I need to deal with that probably.
Right.
In this turn, but it's going to be at some point, it's going to be something you have to get around. Whereas that rest in peace or like went in the void, you have to just be like, oh, I'm literally never going to care about that. I had one regrowth in my deck and I've already used it. So that's just what it is. I don't care. So how many pieces of graveyard hate do you guys actually run in your decks? Do you have like a hard and fast number? Do you just kind of do it by like this deck needs a piece? You know, how does that work?
I usually have little to none in any of my decks.
Why is that?
Could be because, in my opinion, the commander format, I play cards that allow me to play multiple versions of it.
Sure, okay.
So like flashback, getting it out of my graveyard, because it is a singleton format, so I don't want to screw that up.
Okay. So you don't want to snipe yourself in the process.
Yep. I don't want, at any point, I don't want it to harm me in the long run.
I would say I don't do that with graveyard hate, but my version of that is, I really should have Back to Nature, or like I should have more enchantment sweepers in my decks, and that's where I do it. I'm like, man, I like enchantments so much, and I tend to run them in most of my decks, that I'm greedy there. I don't want to hit myself. How about you, Max? What do you run?
I used to be in Chris's position. I used to run very little to none. I mean, the occasional black deck I would build, I'd put a Bajuka Bog in, and I'd be like, okay, I'm good.
Good enough, yep.
For a while, Angel Finality was in Brago because I could just blink it and kill someone's graveyard.
And every turn,
and it's not just all graveyards. I really prefer the I want a single target graveyard.
Because you do use your own graveyard in that Brago deck.
Yes.
Not a ton, but you have some stuff in there that matters.
Almost all my decks have a lot of cards that I need in my graveyard, so I try to stay away from the mass exile everybody's graveyards. Now, I have started putting Scavenger Grounds and a couple deserts in Scavenger Grounds for sure in almost all my decks.
Okay.
Just because it is...
You run into those
worst-case scenarios where you need to use it.
It's easy, and like you don't have to think, like, man, what card do I take out for this other thing? You're like, oh, well, I can pull out one forest and put in Scavenger Grounds or whatever. It's easy to do.
And I think you mentioned this last week, Dana. You mentioned putting the other, like, Painland deserts into your deck.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with Regna and Krav, so I have the white one in there. I need to get a copy of the black one.
Okay.
Just because... They're mana, you know, it's colored mana for a life. It's
like, a lot of life gain in that deck too, so the life loss doesn't really hurt you.
And the ability on the white one is actually really nice, giving all my dudes +1/+1 till end of turn.
Sure.
So I'm trying that in that deck, but in all honesty, like I actually am toying around with more cards like Silent Gravestone, where cards in graveyards can't be the target of spells or abilities versus just wiping out a graveyard, because you do shut down the Glissas, you shut down... The only thing you really don't shut down is a Muldrotha deck, because you cast the cards. You don't target them to cast.
And you miss out on like the mass reanimation, like Living Den or Living Death, Living End, Rise of the Dark Realms. But I don't see those as much as we did once upon a time.
No. And the nice thing about Silent Gravestone is, for 4 mana, I can sack it to exile all graveyards, but it replaces itself. It's a more expensive relic, essentially. Right. For target, like single card removal, I really like Stonecloaker. Because it has flash, and you can return it. You can return itself to your hand versus another creature, and then it does
extra utility on top of just being there.
Right.
Yeah, Stonecloaker does a lot of work in some games too.
Yes.
Any specific ones you run? You said you don't run much, Chris. Is there anything specifically you tend to look at, or do you just kind of if it happens to be useful, you run it, but if not, you're not looking for pieces specifically to add. Like Bajuka Bog, do you have that in your Lesha deck?
No.
Okay.
Comes into play tapped, of course not.
Sure. In three colors? Then you run Amulet of Vigors, just for that Bajuka Bog.
That will be in my Ramos deck, I will tell you this.
Ooh.
You're all your Guildgate Ramos. That makes sense there.
You're going to be like, oh, Guildgate. Oh, guess what comes into play on tap? Nice. What's up?
No, that makes sense.
No, I guess if there were any piece that I would seriously contemplate, it would be Leyland of the Void, because it doesn't target you.
Right, yes. And you can cast it for free sometimes, which is nice too.
Another one would be Scavenging Ooze, if I played green, because it is targeted removal out of a graveyard.
Yeah. I mean, that's an all-star card just in general.
Because you can just be like, oh, you got all those lands in there. If you're not playing a Lord Windgrace or whatever, you're just like, okay, cool. well, you're going to target that. Nope, it's gone.
What's nice about Ooze, too, is there's a lot of decks where it also synergizes with. If you're playing like Pyrran Toothy or something, you get double counters on it, or if you're playing a track so you can proliferate those counters. Yep. I mean, it does. It's not just a removal piece. It's also an offensive piece in a lot of decks as well. Deathrite Shaman is the same way. Like, there's, you know, if you're playing black, green, not that it isn't a great card, but like if you're playing some kind of elf deck too, well, of course you're running Deathrite Shaman. It's a great card in general, in addition to being graveyard hate.
I forgot Deathrite Shaman. It was even playable in Commander because it's banned in every other freaking format.
Other format, right? Yeah. No, seriously, I sometimes forget that too.
Yeah.
It's getting a reprint, though, in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's right.
It in the guild kit.
In the guild kit, yeah. There are some really nice cards in those guild kits. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty impressed. So I know Chris said he doesn't like it because it comes into play tab, but I do run Majuka Bog in black decks if I can. I feel like it's worth it. It's saved my butt enough times that I can eat that coming into play tapped. It seems like it either comes down when it's useful, or it comes out in turn one, which a lot of times you don't care anyway if when it comes into play in turn one. You're like, okay, I'll exile that one guy who just fetched a land, and then pass turn, I'll hit his fetch land, and that's just my turn one, that's it. But if it does nothing, it saves my butt enough times that if I'm playing black, I tend to run it. I run Scavenger Grounds. I think I have it in every one of my decks now. I'm just a fan of that card, and I'm trying out the deserts to see if getting double utility out of it's worthwhile. I run Nilil Spellbomb in my Glissa deck. I like that a lot. I like it's recurrable. Black. It's recurrable in that deck in particular, but it replaces itself for one black mana too. Rest in Peace, Leyline of the Void, I'm a fan of both of those. Leyline's so... that is a card that needs a reprint. That would have been a great one to have.
I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah, we'll get it eventually. But yeah, the price in that is pretty disgusting. But it's a great, great card.
Yep.
And Max mentioned Relic of Preventedness. I like Relic a lot too, because that replaces itself as well. Torment's Crypt is a little bit easier to cast because it's zero mana. You can just drop it, crack it, and move on. But getting that one card back in your hand is really, really nice. And Relic, if you get ahead of somebody, if you get that out early and you're just paying attention and making sure you use it every turn, you can stay ahead of somebody because they can choose what card.
Yes.
But unless they're putting a bunch of cards in their graveyard, you can oftentimes get ahead of them and just keep their graveyard empty.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't need to, you're like, well, they've just put 15 things in and they're going to do something here. Then you crack it and kill all graveyards and get it back, get your card back to hand. So the big problem there is it can't be recurred because it exiles itself. Because if it could be, that would be insane.
Broken.
I'm genuinely surprised that card, as old as it is, because it's what, from Alara block?
Somewhere around there.
I'm kind of surprised it exiles itself and it didn't. I'm surprised they thought that far ahead and didn't like just let it go to the graveyard. But it does. So still a great card, though. And Mimic Vat, I think people forget about that. And not that it's not a great card. Like, obviously, the primary use for is copying good stuff. But there's been enough times I've used it to deny people from having cards in their graveyard. Like, I know they're going to do something, and I'm like, I just don't want you to have that in your graveyard. So I'll just take it and I'm going to Mimic Vat. Okay, so this is the part that the people that keep telling us to not recommend Graveyard Hate are probably going to want to listen to. How do you deal with someone else running Graveyard Hate? Like, how do you stop it from happening?
You can't.
Player removal.
Removal is not going to save you.
Kill the player.
Usually it's too late.
Right.
I mean, you can, if you're going to do, like, what I've occasionally done in my Glissa deck, too, is I see that Scavenger Grounds out over there, but they've just tapped it for a thing. I'm like, and I know in three turns I'm going to do something. So then you can use your Strip Mine or something to deal with it. I mean, occasionally you can get away with it. Technically, you can stifle that trigger. You can stifle Majuka Bog, but I've never seen it happen. I know you can, but I've never seen it actually occur. And is it worth running, like, even in a Muldrotha deck, where you're running your graveyard as, like, that's how you win the game, would it be worth running a stifle to deal with that?
No.
No.
Honestly, in those types of decks, if you're seriously worried about it and there's so much in your meta, stop overextending into your graveyard.
Yeah. You're right, yeah.
Because it's the same thing as your board. If you're overextending your board, you're going to get, you know, wiped out with a board wipe. It's the same thing with your graveyard. If you're overextending your graveyard, someone lands a Rest in Peace, you just, you know, shafted yourself.
I mean, you could maybe Teferi's Protection out of it, out of someone going to hit it. But again, like, you're not going to keep Teferi's Protection up in your Caridor deck on the off chance someone Majuka Bogs your yard. That's just not something most people are going to be doing. Or your Verena deck or whatever. So there's a few things. I looked up a few. There's a couple ways to shuffle your graveyard into your library at instant speed in response to something. Corrosion Reclamation does it. Learn from the Past. Memory's Journey. Psychic Spiral Repopulate. And Stream of Consciousness. So I didn't know of any of those cards off the top of my head. Like, I looked them all up, and I don't think I've ever seen a single one of those cards cast Have you got in Commander? Have you guys?
Yeah, Psychic Spiral.
Is that the one from Ravnica where you hit somebody for damage, then they shuffle the library back in? Which one is that?
They mill as much as you have in your graveyard, and you shuffle your graveyard back
okay.
in. It's a 5-mana sorcery.
That's the one I have. It's uncommon, I think, from Turner Ravnica block. I'm not sure if it's Gatecrash or what. That's the one I've maybe seen, I think, used.
Yep.
I've seen Elixir of Immortality used quite a bit. I don't run it in any of my decks, but I've seen it used. I tried it in Jeru, because that deck also uses the graveyard a little bit in that I want to cycle dead planeswalkers back into my library. So I do use a few cards to do that in that deck, but like also if someone plays a Rest in Peace, I'm probably still going to be okay.
Yeah, and so with the Muldrotha explanation, you know, like how, because that's what they use for everything, is their graveyard or a Marin or whatever.
Right, yeah.
If Rest in Peace hits the board, those shuffle effects are not going to save you.
Right, no.
All it does is it adds cards to your library, and then it actually probably is going to hurt you in the long run.
That's a good point, actually. I wasn't even thinking of that. No, that's a good point. That doesn't save you because your yard's still gone regardless.
Yep.
So maybe if your win condition piece is in there, but right, whether someone shuffles it back in or lets it die, it's still no longer a graveyard. That's a good point. That doesn't really save you. No, I like that. The Titans from the first Zendikar block, if they go in your graveyard, you shuffle your graveyard back. But again, that's like we said, that's not something. Number one, you can't rely on doing that.
No.
Unless someone's milling you. And I've seen it used maybe in your like a meta with a ton of mill. Maybe you run one just for that kind of protection. But that doesn't solve any problems if you're a graveyard deck.
No.
And like you said, that makes your graveyard go away still. So that doesn't really do any good either. So maybe you just need to be careful, I guess. I agree with that.
I think that's the best thing you can do is just play slow. Don't overextend into it. If you're playing, like when I play my reanimating Alesha deck, you will never see my graveyard chock full of goodies. It's like two or three at the most. Yeah.
Well, I think if you can, try to treat your graveyard as your secondary resource or secondary win condition, but understand at any point in time it's going to go away.
Yeah. Or I treat it as my primary source, and I just don't play cards out of my hand. And I'm using just my graveyard.
Sure. Well, yeah. That's a good call.
To force out, okay, if you're gonna hate me, bring it out as fast as possible against me, and then I play with whatever's left over in my hand.
So what do you guys like in terms of playing against graveyard decks, what ones in your experience have given you the most problems? Ones that use their graveyard?
No graveyard deck's better than mine.
I like your graveyard deck a lot. No, but I do. I like Crystals of Graveyard. I like his Alesha deck a lot.
I haven't played against too many of them, to be honest with you. I think the closest one I ever played against would have been like a Gitrog deck, but he wasn't really technically using his graveyard.
And even that, they're using it in terms of like they're using it to draw cards. So he's a kid of combo, but they're not playing out of it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I've played a few zombie decks, but that's just how zombies play in general.
Right,
yeah. You know, in the past, Luke Witten, friend of the show, had a Tassigar deck.
That Tassigar deck was a pain in the butt to deal with.
Right. But it was a very, very tuned deck. I liked playing against it. You know, it was very challenging to play against. That'd probably be the best graveyard deck I've ever really played against.
What worked about that deck is if you didn't have Leyline or Rest in Peace and play continuously keeping a graveyard in check, the way Tassigar worked, you were constantly refilling your yard.
Yep.
So that was what was challenging about that deck. You couldn't just count on that Bajuka Bug to wipe someone's graveyard, and then you're good to go for 5 turns. It starts over the next turn.
Yep.
We have a couple Marin decks floating around the shop, but I mean, Marin is, it's almost predictable at this point to me, because you know every Marin deck has to just get to that certain point with experience counters before you really have to worry about Marin.
And you can keep them off that as well.
Right. I mean, don't let them cast Marin or use Graveyard Hate. But, you know, most Marin decks, once they hit that 5 spot with experience counters, then you got to worry because they're going to bring back all the big baddies versus or just the Wood Elves. Or
they're just going to goof around for 10 minutes and not really accomplish anything, bringing back Wood Elves and sacrificing Wood Elves, bringing back Wood Elves and ramping lands that they're not going to actually do anything with. I've seen plenty of that, too, with Muldrotha and Marin and Carador decks that don't really make any forward progress, in which case maybe you don't care about their graveyard then, other than wasting your time.
It might just be because I play in such a competitive meta for Modern and other things But if people are playing decks like that, it's just poor deck building.
Yeah. It is. And you know what? Like, maybe that's fun. I get it. Sometimes that kind of thing is not to watch.
Fun? Yeah.
No, okay. it's not fun to watch. But like, some people like doing that. There are players I play with at the shop that like doing things on their turn that don't get them anywhere, and they have no intention of ever winning the game. That happens. Like, some people enjoy that, and that's fine. But that's a real thing, and I think you see that with Marin. I think you see it with Muldrowth a little bit. You see it with some Caridor decks where they're just like, to them, winning the game is taking a 10-minute turn where they bring six things back from the graveyard and don't really move towards any kind of victory condition. And maybe that's fine. Like, I'm nothing against that. I don't really dig playing against it, but like, that's a thing, I guess. I started saying this about your Alesha deck, Chris. One thing I like about the way your Alesha deck uses its graveyard, and I think it's a bit like my Glissa deck, you use it, but you can survive just fine without it.
Yep. That's the whole point of a graveyard deck, in my opinion. That's why when you're talking about these Marin decks, oh yeah, you know, once they hit experience counters, as Max was saying, and they bring back the big baddies, it's like, at that point, I would have been killing you by then.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be waiting to start playing with my graveyard. No, I would have been doing everything possible out of my hand, tutoring, because you're in black, your card draw in black. I mean,
you're in black-green. That's your set.
Yeah. You shouldn't need your graveyard to make that deck work.
No,
it should just
not
be a bonus.
Yes. So, in addition to overextending with their graveyards, what mistakes have you seen people make with their graveyards? Anything that jumps out at you guys that you can really think of that you've seen in terms of graveyard screw-ups? One thing, this isn't really a mistake so much, but graveyard order technically kind of matters. There are cards that care about graveyard sequence.
Three.
I was going to say, there's not a whole lot anymore.
Nether Shadow, I can't remember what the other two, there's like three of them, and they don't see any EDH play.
No.
Because I personally usually don't, my graveyard's a mess, I don't keep it in sequence.
I know you're supposed to in competitive play strictly for... If you have to backtrack, the judge can backtrack, and each of you agree that this card was played, then this card, then this card, then this card type of deal.
Yeah. But in Commander, I don't see people make mistakes with their graveyard except for the fact they dirtle. Like, what do I want to bring back? What do I want to put there? Like, I can't really think of someone, I regrowthed the wrong card.
The one that jumps out at me is the person who has graveyard interaction saying, so what's in your graveyard? And you do need to find that out, because picking a four-person pod, the person sitting across from you, but you need to be careful about telegraphing that and doing it. Either do it frequently enough that no one can tell when you're just bluffing or not, or do it the turn you're planning on doing something with graveyards. But when you do it and then don't do anything for a turn, I know you've got a thing in hand for the most part. Like, I don't think anyone's ever bluffed me on that, like, had an animate dead in hand, or didn't have an animate dead and just asked to check my graveyard and then didn't do it. They always follow up, so I always know it's coming. So I would say be a little cautious about, like, telegraphing that you're going to go reanimate someone's graveyard, or like, so how many creatures are in your graveyard? I'm like, well, I know you're going to do a thing now. You're going to living death or something. So I would say people tend to telegraph that too much. And when I see somebody, this is another one I see, particularly in like not a Caridor deck or a Marin deck, when someone who's playing just regular Commander, and I see them grab their graveyard and they start flipping through it and they put a card on top and put it back down. I'm like, oh, I know you're now going to go try to reanimate that Sepulchral Primordial or that Elish Norn. You've just told me you're going to do that, so I need to make sure I have something in hand to deal with that. So I think that is one I see a lot.
And that falls down on the downfall of what I call casual play.
For sure, absolutely.
Right.
And I've probably done it. Because I know there's plenty of times I've grabbed my graveyard and I'm like digging through it. Like, okay, I'm going to board wipe my Glissa deck. How many artifacts can I bring back? And I start like looking through it. And so, I mean, I'm sure I've done it too.
It's at, you know, 11 o'clock at night. And he's doing it so he remembers all the triggers, not to dirtle.
He still doesn't remember.
What did I miss? Abundance the other night.
How do you miss an abundance trigger?
Because it was in my recce deck, and I had cast, it's a Glimpse of Nature out of Kamigawa, where you draw a card whenever you cast a creature spell.
It's okay.
So I had a recce out, and I cast Glimpse, and then I just started doing like my recce storm thing, where I'm casting as many creature spells as possible. And I was paying attention to it at first, but after a while, I'm drawing so many cards and I'm doing so many things, I just forgot that abundance was out. So yes, I missed a ton of abundance triggers there.
He still won the game, though.
To the point where here was the conversation I had. I'm like, well, that would be a good sign-out question at some point. I'll ask the question down the road about card complexity and whether it's worth pulling cards because you screw them up a lot. But we'll do that down the road.
I wouldn't play the game if that was a thing because I screw a lot of simple cards up, let alone complex ones. Because
in the past, I've pulled humility out of decks before too. Because I'm like, nope, don't want to deal with it.
Do you know humility? If I animate a man land, my man land becomes what is printed on the card. Humility does not affect man lands.
So it becomes...
So if I animate Celestial Colonnade and you have a Humility in play, my Celestial Colonnade is still a 4/4.
With Flying and Vigilance.
Oh, nice. Yep. I did not know that. Because it's a land.
Don't ask me why this works this way, because all the judges I've asked, because this is something that was brought up at the shop during a judge conference, and they can't give me a clear answer.
What down the road...
That's a deep layer, I'm thinking.
Yeah, bear that in mind, because I want to do another one of those shows where we talk about weird interactions, because I thought that was a really fun show to do, and we got some really good feedback on it, so we'll do a part two of that at some point. So remember that and see if you can find an answer so we can use that for one of our examples.
I got quite a few of them.
Yay. All right, good deal. We'll keep remembering those. Any more graveyard stuff you gentlemen want to talk about here before we move on with our evening?
I can't really think of anything. I mean, the biggest thing I'd want to say is don't shy away from using it. Even if we're saying to run hate and all that stuff, don't shy away from using your graveyard. It is another utility to the game.
Yep.
I mean, I talk about how many pieces of graveyard hate I run. My Glissa deck uses it. I recycle stuff in Jeru. I think the only deck that doesn't have any graveyard interaction is my Sphinx deck. And even then, I have at least one.
You have a rest in peace in there.
I have a rest in, well, but I have at least the one Sphinx that has the externalize or whatever it is that I can come back. So I don't have nothing in there. And a treasure cruise where I can delve stuff away, too. So
I thought you didn't like treasure cruise.
I don't.
What
I still
episode
don't love,
was that?
I
what
still
episode?
Don't love treasure cruise.
I don't remember, but I remember him saying that.
I still don't love treasure cruise because I've got burned. I still get burned by it, but I've not found a replacement for it yet. Okay, so we've got a sign-out question here, and it's going to be, on last week's show, we were all really into Surveil, and I still am really into Surveil, and I think it's going to be a really, really good mechanic. So we mentioned liking it more than any mechanic we've seen in a long time. Not counting Surveil, what are your favorite keyword mechanics just ever in Magic?
That's different than what you wrote down, because you said non-evergreen keywords, because... That would have made this a lot easier for me.
I just picked mechanics.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what I thought we were doing.
Okay, yeah. That works.
Isn't the same thing? Non-evergreen keywords? And because keywords are mechanics, isn't that what it is?
You wrote...
I made it too complicated.
I just assume what he means when he writes stuff like that. I'm gonna make
start
no
doing
sense.
That moving forward.
Or just text me and ask me, what did you mean?
No, that's too much work.
What are your favorites?
I got three of them. I'll start with one, and then we'll pass it around.
Dredge.
And yes, Dredge is my number one favorite mechanic that was ever made.
Dredge is such an interesting mechanic. I like Dredge a lot, too. My favorite thing about Dredge is that they didn't understand Dredge.
No.
And that's fantastic. I love the fact that like they were there planning Dredge out, and they're going, well, the more cards you dredge away, the worse it is. So let's throw Dredge 6 on a common, because it must be bad having
and
to dredge 6.
And then let's ban it in Modern.
Yeah. That is fantastic how badly they did not understand their own mechanic. I'm a big fan of Dredge. I switched over, thanks to Dan Mell, Patreon supporter and listener, had suggested I switch over to Stinkweed Imp as a flyer in my Glissa deck. It doesn't have true Death Touch, but it has like...
Pseudo Death Touch.
Like Orin Viper Death Touch.
Yeah. So I put it in there, and I've been really, really happy with that card in that deck. Being able to bring it back for one to my hand to cast it because it's Death Touch blocker, super useful, but putting artifacts in the graveyard I can bring back, that's been a really useful card. Max, which ones do you like? Give me one that you like before I go back to Chris here.
My first one is going to be Menace.
You've mentioned that before that you like Menace a lot.
I do like Menace. My original answer was Fear / Intimidate, but now that is Menace.
Sure. I'm going to vouch for Exalted here. When I first came back to Magic and not even like playing in person, I started playing on, I think, whatever the iPad game was, Duel of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it was, did M13 have Exalted on black and white creatures, I believe?
Yeah,
in the core
Nephirox
set?
Was in it. And
yeah.
Knight of Infamy. And,
yep.
Sublime
so
Archangel.
One of the decks that you could, like the intro deck you started with was a black white Exalted deck. So that was like I just picked it for, I don't know what reason, and that was when I started playing Magic on that iPad with that Exalted deck. Man, I love Exalted as a mechanic. It was so much fun on there. I really still want to try to build like a 4 or 5
it
color
is
Exalted
so
mechanic.
Weak in Commander, though.
It's you just one shot somebody. Yeah. That's what it is. I think I want to try it with who's the 4 color commander that where when you deal damage to one person, you deal it to both.
Saskia.
I think Saskia might kind of work.
It could.
Because then you're doubling up your Exalted damage. So I might try it with Saskia, but thinking about that. But yes, that's a problem. It doesn't scale nearly as well in the commander as it does in 1v1. But I still love the mechanic and want to see it come back at some point. What else do you like, Chris?
We'll go farther back in time.
Ooh.
Wait. No, maybe it's ahead of Dredge. I don't remember now. My timeline's all screwed up. But I'm going to go with Transmute.
Transmute would have been the same set, I think.
That would have been Ravnica.
Ravnica?
Because I thought that they originally printed it before Ravnica.
Nope, it was on the... there was a Transfigure, but I think that was even after. That was in Time Spiral Block. So yeah, Ravnica was the first Dimir mechanic.
Transmute.
Nice. Very nice mechanic.
It's so good. I am surprised I do not see it more in Commander.
Yeah.
Because there are quite a few of them that are still... I mean, yeah, you got your model mixture, but then you got your other stuff. Like, there's like a 6-drop creature or whatever, or a 5-drop creature that you could transmute for your Exquisite Blood or Sanguine combo.
Oh, if you want to be that person.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, it's other options of going for stuff in your deck.
Yeah. It's another way to tutor things up.
Yep.
We just did last week on Twitter, talked about cards you can get with Teferi West that aren't lands. So we did a full week on that. By the time this comes out, we'll have just finished doing that.
Yep.
And then on the EDH Rec cast last week for our underplayed cards, I went with Muddled Mixture. Because, I mean, that gets so many things. Like, in my Edric deck, it gets Cyclonic Rift if I need to get Rift. It gets Biomass Mutation if I need to, like, to kill a bunch of people with Wincon. There's a lot of... And it just gets a counterspell if I need a counterspell. I mean, it's a counterspell, but, like, it's such a good card. Max, what else do you like?
I like Undying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A better Persist, essentially.
Yeah.
That was such a weird thing when I saw Undying. I'm like... As if Persist wasn't really, really good enough. They're like, let's make a better Persist.
I think it's different enough from Persist. Those -1/-1 counters might come in handy, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know of a situation where they do necessarily, but...
You play competitive, you tell
us. I do believe that the Persist cards are more powerful than the Undying cards.
Yeah.
I think they made the Persist creatures and the abilities stronger because of the downside, whereas Undying, for the most part, they weren't.
Yeah.
Standard, it was really strong.
With like Hardened Scales or Winding Constrictor or stuff like that would be pretty good.
Yeah. My next one is Constellation. I'm a big fan of Constellation out of
Theros.
Theros. What I like about Constellation too is it's on the ETB, so it gives you a few more options to do things with Constellation that you can't do with like a cast mechanic on most of the Enchantress cards. So I like Constellation. I'd like to see it again. And I'm assuming they kind of like it too, because we've got a few Constellation cards that have been reprinted in Commander sets. There was one in this Banchantress deck, and we got a new one, I think, in the Daxos deck as well. So they seem to be okay coming back with that. So I'm looking forward to seeing more Constellation. Any more mechanics anyone likes here worth talking about?
I like Exploit.
Exploit's pretty good.
Are we just in Ravnica all day or something?
Exploit was cons. From cons.
Was oh,
cons.
Was it?
Yeah.
Sidisi.
Oh, I'm thinking of...
Overload?
No, the...
Overload's pretty good.
You pay a black or a white and you...
Extort.
Extort, there we go.
Extort's pretty great, too.
That was from earlier in the show.
Yeah, we talked about that one before.
Well, I'm going to go to cons with my next one as well.
All right.
And I'm going to pick Delve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Delve is... because the first Delve card was a demon in Time Spiral Block. And I forget
I think that was the very first one that was like their...
Future Sight.
Yep.
Future
Pre to see if it works type of deal. He's like a 5/5 for 7 or 6
but,
or something like that
but
with Delve.
Delve down to, yeah.
Yep.
Delve's a great mechanic. And Delve is one I bet we will not see again, I don't think.
We shall see.
My last one is Devotion. I'm a big fan of Devotion as well. I know Theros Block for some reason doesn't have a good rep in hindsight, but I liked Theros Block. There's a lot of good commander stuff in Theros Block.
Yeah, Theros Block doesn't get a good hype because it was like an annoying set in general,
And it came off Return to Ravnica, Innistrad back-to-back, which are fantastic blocks, so everyone was a little bit let down.
It's kind of like Ixalan coming in and everyone's like, whatever.
After the power level of...
Yep.
yeah. Whereas I think Ixalan's a really great set too, but I think people were so hyped up by the previous power level that when it wasn't super strong, they got let down. Okay, so we will like to hear from you guys. We'll tweet this out like we do every week, hear what your favorite mechanics are that aren't named Surveil. And that is it, I think, for the Graveyard Hate show. We'll be back next week. And by next week, I mean a couple days from now with a bonus show. Until then, I am Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.